a common misconception about science. That misconception, which is that science would believe something today, but, you know, wait a few months or a few years and it'll believe something different, you know, tomorrow, mm-hmm. and or, you know, next decade, as though we just sort of some consensus that shifts back and forth. That's not true. What is true is at the front edge of science, yeah, we don't know what's going on. We're waiting for better data, better telescopes, better accelerators. And so at the bleeding edge of science, there's huge argument and debate about what is true and what is not. But once enough evidence and data have accumulated to the point where a consensus can be achieved, that goes into the books and we move on. And that's how science has been since the era of Galileo, which I would right. track as the era of modern science, of sort of empirically derived understandings of how the universe works.
And where do those conversations take place better than on this show?
I'm here.
Yeah, but I'm saying, in a way, we are like the cyber cafes of from some Parisian sidewalk 70 years ago, where they were challenging mainstream science's understandings back then and saying, but maybe that's not true. And we do that sort of stuff on the show all the time. So I'd say we're part of the process of mainstream science.
I would say, but you can split the science that is well known and understood, that has, you know, a century or even decades of experiment to support it, and the science that are just on the edge. And
right.
on the edge is where you have the latitude to just not only sort of discuss it, but have fun with it and speculate. Right. But if you're going to tell me you have a perpetual motion machine, I'll
right.
say you don't, because
right.
the laws of physics preclude that.
Then let me ask you, and as an astrophysicist, as a PhD, as a student of sciences, as somebody who loves the subject, are there not five things that come to mind fairly easily that are current understandings of science that are under challenge right now?
No, then it wouldn't be a current understanding. It would be a current hypothesis that is not yet confirmed.
Okay, well, things
that's
that
different,
have...
That's an important distinction.
Okay, well, I think these are things that would previously have been held as being unchallengeable.
No,
or
not in the last 400 years.
Not in 400 years.
No. There were before experiment became a fundamental part of our understanding of how the world works. Before then, the people just made stuff up and were... thought that that's how things were, and would argue vehemently, and would hurt you if you didn't agree with it, because dogma prevailed. And by the way, it doesn't mean that you couldn't have dogma. By the way, dogma is bad no matter what, and you can also have dogma in science. So, but science is less susceptible to dogma than other fields of human endeavor, and so because we have ways of winnowing out or discovering the sort of the cracks in the windshield of the dogma, so that ultimately the methods and tools of science can dismantle the belief systems that have no foundations in evidence.
But wouldn't you? I mean, this is where you, as the PhD, can teach us all. But I would have thought that that Albert Einstein, as a PhD, challenged many things that had been held as being sort of sacrosanct, and that these were things that had been, you know, unchallengeable until he came along and, you know, started talking about, you know, even his original, what was it, the special theory of relativity was his first.
Yeah, 1905, right? Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. So what did he not then change the way, even then, what was thought of as mainstream science?
Okay. So that's an interesting point that people often bring up, and so it's an excellent that you bring it up in this context. Generally that period of time in physics, from like the late 1800s right up through quantum physics, so the end of the 1920s, that period is heralded as a time of upheaval in physics, and that's true. But you have to understand what was going on. We had classical physics. Isaac Newton and gravity, and we had these equations that accounted for sort of the fundamental operations of nature. Even after Einstein, those equations still work. They didn't all of a sudden not work just because Einstein came up with relativity. And what happened was, relativity is an extension of our previous world of experiment. And if you take relativity, take general relativity, for example, the modern theory of gravity, and you put in low gravity fields or slow speeds, his equations become identically equal to Newton's equations. So what happened was a bigger circle was drawn around our understanding of the universe. Our understanding of the universe was not supplanted, it was increased. That's the difference. And that's the difference between what how science unfolds today and what happened in Copernicus's day, where everybody said the sun goes around the earth, and he says, no,
right.
Earth goes around the sun. What's a fundamental difference in what's going on? But it's before anybody had experiments, before anybody had telescopes. That predates the Galilean era of how science works.
Okay, but even with, though, to go back to Einstein, my impression has been that it wasn't like as though mainstream science said to him, hey, thanks for expanding our understanding. That it took years and years and years of him challenging some of these things and writing to universities and involving himself in the conversation before that the mainstream science expanded itself enough to be able to accommodate what was clearly the logic of his thinking.
Yeah,
yes?
Okay, so that's one way to say it, but I have a more illuminating way to say it.
Okay.
He comes up with an idea. No one can find any holes in it in terms of a sort of published paper. So it's published in a mainstream journal, the main German journal of physics of the day.
Right.
It was not in a fringe publication. It was not. It was just a peculiar idea, and it was odd. And it was like, could nature really be this way? And there were a lot of people sort of caught in the transition between classical physics and modern physics, and would not accept that until enough experiment, because his theories were ahead of experiment. And anytime you get that, you get all these skeptics, and the science, the enterprise of science, is naturally skeptical. That's a fundamental dimension of what goes on. And so it was not until experiments then demonstrated that what he said was correct. When he came up with general relativity in 1916, that was not headline making until 1919, when the first experiments about where you can find the bending of light, starlight, around the limb of the sun during a total solar eclipse in 1919. And Sir Arthur Eddington, a famous physicist from England, made those measurements. And then it was Einstein's theories confirmed. Whoa, if this one experiment demonstrates that the theory is right, then we have to give much more credence to the entire meaning of that theory. And then you had people saying, I still don't believe it. I'm going to design an experiment to show that he's wrong. And every experiment they design to try to show he's wrong turned out to show that he was right. So it took about 10 years, 15 years, and it wasn't just people beating themselves overhead at a cafe, at a, you know, whatever the equivalent
right.
would have been back then.
Sure.
It was people designing experiments to demonstrate a truth or non-truth about an idea.